Okay, thank you. Thank you all of you who stepped in and also for just for listening in that way. So I've been making a little notes from what I've heard in the centre, and I just feed back a little bit of the reflections that I heard, and the feeding back is aimed not at particularly regurgitating, recapping particular, but actually as more as an invitation to, well, where might some of those concerns, ideas, suggestions, longings, where might they take life? So these are really invitations to address to you. And if as I go through you feel seized by the wish to say, yes, I can do that, then please feel free to jump in. So I heard firstly, the concern and the interest and the longing for developing Sangha in different ways. I heard David's sort of sadness. Is it David?
Oh, Michael.
Michael, sorry. How did I get that? Was there a David over there somewhere?
No.
You mentioned about the way the email list didn't happen. And, threaded through some of what I heard, something about the general dukkha of Britishness. You were speaking, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Araxi.
About, the longing for Sangha that actually is about talking rather than just the silences there. So, and then Miller spoke about a meetup group, and Danielle spoke about Dharma Cafe, or... It's like, oh, hold on, there's a whole bunch of possibilities there. So just the invitation of that in terms of staying in contact. So I assume that Anthea or London Insight has the email addresses of everybody who attended here today.
Yes.
Through registering. So my suggestion would be that Anthea kindly has taken notes, minutes of the meeting. So my suggestion would be if you could send the minutes to everybody, along with the email addresses of everybody, that would be great. And if somebody, in terms of data protection, doesn't want you, just let Anthea know at the end of the evening that you don't want to be included with that.
So, it wouldn't apply to anybody who paid on the door.
Okay, so conversely, if you think Anthea hasn't got your email address and you'd like it to have it, please...
If you paid
please.
Online, we don't
have
it.
Great. And please include me in that sending as well. And then beyond that, just those possibilities for whatever you might do in terms of suggestions to one another, whatever you might do in terms of some meetup group, in terms of establishing some Dharma Cafe, in terms of the possibilities to meet. It doesn't need to be a grand thing. It's not rocket science to organise a group. It doesn't need to be in a particular venue. And it can be anything you like. It doesn't have to follow some seemingly orthodoxized in such a short time. Dharma's been in the Europe. And we've got this rhetoric that, we left behind all the orthodoxy in Asia. Mm-hmm. God, we've generated a lot of orthodoxy in a short time. There's this form, the silence has become an orthodoxy. The way we use bells has become an orthodoxy. There's not necessarily anything wrong with orthodoxy, but it easily becomes a blindness that we think that's how we do things. And, part of how we do things is so much around the silence is that there's not so much of the sharing and the using the valuable resource of one another. So just the encouragement to give rise to any of those forms of Sangha that you spoke about, to find ways to meet with each other, explore with each other, share with each other, inspire with each other, commiserate with one another, each other, etc. Nourish your practice with each other. Yes. And then some speaking about homelessness and the engagement with that, and whether it's about money or whether it, in my experience, something that's very helpful with it, and it actually it was addressed right around the same time as someone was speaking about homelessness, and also speaking about the sense of isolation and lack of contact. It's hard. When I've spoken to homeless people, a lot of what's hard for them is the lack of contact. Mm-hmm. Just to be sitting there all day long and having in their need and the difficult situation, having people blank them mm-hmm. all day long. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I would say more helpful than the money mm-hmm. is the contact.
And the elderly.
Hi. Yeah. And asking how it's going. And you might want to buy them a sandwich, actually, is probably, especially if you have concerns about, well, where's the money going and how is it being used, etc. Buy them a sandwich, buy them a hot drink. And to use the opportunity to actually make some human connection, which is nourishing in that way.
The thing they really appreciate too is clean pants and socks. That's one thing you can't get when you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, pants and socks. Clean pants and socks.
Yeah, sure.
Just setting it out there.
And in terms of Sangha initiatives, the guy I mentioned who I went to teach at their Sangha, and they were playing music as they came in. And part of what they do, which I forgot to mention, so as well as the meditation, and as well as actually having contact and music, you know, they're really enlightened, these guys. And as well as having movie nights together, they started running, they get together once in a while and make soup and offer it to the homeless people nearby. So that's both community building and Sangha bonding, and it's that service element. It's that real practical help to people who need real practical help. And again, it's kind of simple. Right? We might ask, well, why doesn't our practice, which is all about awareness and compassion, why doesn't it give rise to these things? And often it's easy to be inspired by that, but there's something about the lack of Sangha opportunities and the way that doesn't develop. Now, that's at the root of all these things. You've got some sense of contact and support and group and inspiration. We've only spent 2 hours together this evening, and yet, all kinds of possibility. And, you know, then somebody spoke about living in Folkestone, you said, and that sense of, you know, you spoke about the teenage pregnancy, and then you said, and how can I engage? So I remember asking myself, how can I engage with that? You know, that's such a good question. Whatever you're moved by or inspired by, just to keep that question alive, how can I engage with that? How can we engage with this? And, you know, sometimes it may not be obvious or easy initially, but then that's the way you're both nourishing your own practice, right? A lot of our practice is about being willing to live with ambiguity and discomfort. There's a little meditation. A lot of meditation is about ambiguity and discomfort. You sit for a while. It's not very comfortable physically after a while. It's not very comfortable mentally. You sit there to meet your resistance. You sit there to meet your wandering mind. You sit there to meet your dull mind, etc. And so a lot of practice, formal practice, is about, you know, being willing and increasingly skillful at tolerating a certain amount of discomfort. And when the discomfort's there, as we kind of drop below our usual commentary and our usual interpretations and our usual certainties, we kind of fill out into a much more ambiguous sense of things, where the usual sense of here and there and this and that and me and you kind of starts to soften and dissolve. And so, just like formal practice is about, to a certain extent, getting more fluid and more free around discomfort and around ambiguity, then in those questions of our life, the things that move us or concern us or distress us, and the question, how can I engage? And the willingness to sit in the discomfort and ambiguity of that so as to find a way to engage. And like was pointed out at the end, you know, one hears at the end of a retreat, you know, you get a lot of great instructions for how to meditate, and then you get one instruction for the whole of the rest of life, or two instructions, basically, be mindful and be kind. And there's a great instruction, no doubt about it, but they need filling out a little bit. They need filling out a little bit. And then, and so, in a way, just to close, that reminder that all that we've discussed and all the possibilities there are and all the ways in which you may, and I hope you will find to keep the conversation alive as well as the initiatives that can come, there are ways of filling out how to be mindful and how to be kind to ourselves and to each other and to the world around us and to the city we live in, you live in, and to the kind of the wider culture, that all of which, the wider world, all of which is our home. So, friends, thank you for coming and listening and sharing and participating. And in kind of classic Buddhist style, may we offer the merit of our discussions, so that whatever goodness arises from being together and sharing together, may it be dedicated to the wider welfare and benefit of each of your hearts, of each other's hearts, and of all these hearts within us, around us, who are us, hearts crying out for care, and contact, mindfulness, and compassion. Okay. Thank you.
I'd just like to thank...